Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, part of EP and the Enterprise Podcast Network. Joining us on the program, we have Clément Decrupp, a resilient leader and CEO of the Idea Space, a company that makes consciousness as real as gravity by giving it a scientific foundation. And Mr. Decrupp, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me, Eric. Happy to be here.
And you bet. Thanks for your time as well. So to get things underway, as a resilient leader, how did you come up with the Idea Space?
Yeah, great question. So I'll give you the quick story. So I was born in Belgium, then I moved to Spain. At the age of six, I moved to the United States. Went to a small school with 20 people in my grade, then went to high school with 600 people in my grade, then went to Penn State to study mechanical engineering with 10,000 people in my grade. After Penn State, decided to go to IBM and work as a consultant, and they have over 200,000 employees. So this exponentially shooting up in the amount of people that I interact with. And then I was working at IBM for 3 years. I got to do some really cool projects. I worked on a $10 billion sales presentation for a cloud deal. I submitted 130 patents in a one-year span, and I was burnt out, and I fell into this sort of purpose gap where I asked myself a normal question people ask is like, what is the bigger picture? What is the point of all this? What is my purpose, right? And so I decided to go on a sabbatical, and I wanted to do something that made me money while I slept, because that's something that Naval Ravikant said a lot, and he's the founder of AngelList, and he's a guru in my book. So I could code, wasn't the best, but I read a lot. So I thought, hey, why not write a book? And so when I started writing the book, I decided to write about things that had withstood the test of time. So this includes math, physics, and then history, because history is time itself. So just started writing and then just kept going and going and going. And I had this initial thought of an idea space and didn't really know what it was until I finished my first draft, where everything kind of just came together like a beautiful cosmic symphony. And then refined it, trying to find the thread between math, physics, and history. And the idea space came about as a mathematical model for consciousness. And I think, yeah, that's how it all got started.
Definitely some interesting background right there, but certainly is impressive at the same time. Explain the concept of a macro idea space and how it influences group dynamics and collective decision making.
Yeah, of course. So your personal idea space is the one that you're living in right now, all your thoughts, emotions, sensations, and perceptions. And so your idea space has two main properties. The first is it's uncountable, which basically means it's impermanent or always changing from moment to moment. And the second property is that it has zero measure, which means it looks like nothing to someone else. So for instance, you can hold a pen, a computer, or a phone in your hand, and clearly you can see it, you can touch it, and everybody else can see it. But if you close your eyes and picture a mental image of whatever it is you're holding in your mind, no one else can see it. So that goes for all your thoughts, emotions, sensations, and perceptions, which is your personal idea space. On the other hand, a macro idea space is when two personal idea spaces combine. And this can be when we have a conversation just like you and I are doing right now, Eric, or when you read a book, it's just, or attend a town hall, read on something on Twitter. Whenever you ingest new information from someone else, you're building a macro idea space. And the macro idea space is responsible for creating a lot of the imagined realities in our world, such as words, languages, money, governments, companies, and things of that nature. And so having a very deep understanding of the true nature of reality and how macro idea spaces create these imagined realities or intersubjective realities that we believe in to this day, like the United States or Amazon. I really think that just helps set the foundation for understanding how these companies and governments works while detaching yourself from getting too caught up into the weeds. So there's a beautiful quote by author Michael Pollan who says, "That's the challenge, to change the system more than it changes you." So by understanding the macro idea space, you're able to execute on Michael Pollan's words of wisdom.
Yeah, thanks for the feedback on that. Much appreciated. Also, how can the exploration of our idea space lead to innovation and creativity in our professional lives? I'm sure listeners would like to hear that angle there.
Yeah, of course. So I think a lot of times when we're thinking, and so the beauty of the idea space is that it allows you to detach from your thoughts, emotions, sensations, and perceptions. So it allows you to view all of those things objectively, devoid of I. And this is important when you're ideating, because something that I found is there's no such thing as a bad idea. Of course, there's some ideas that are not good and you don't want to pursue them. But for example, it cannot tell you the amount of times where I've been ideating for a patent group where someone has just said something that's ridiculous. It's just kind of silly, but it serves as a stepping stone for the next good idea. And in my mind, the idea of space allows you to share any idea that you want, because you're not attached to it and you're not going to be thinking, oh, what if someone thinks of this of me, right? And so in my mind, the best idea is the one that generates the winning idea, because that's kind of like the spark that ignites the flame. And I think the idea space really is a tool that allows you to generate as many of those spark ideas as possible. So like that, the macro idea space, the people that you align yourself with, you can build the flame together.
Yeah, I like how you worded that, build the flame together. Good stuff. We're speaking with Clément Ducrop. He is a resilient leader and CEO of the Idea Space, a company that makes consciousness as real as gravity by giving it a scientific foundation. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, what is the business model for the Idea Space? That certainly is a curiosity.
Yeah, of course. So the first thing I was told when I started writing a book is that you can't make money off writing a book. So that was fun. So I decided to do a couple different things. So the first was I decided to make meditation cards that I'm selling on Amazon. And there's two sets right now, 100 mindful prompts and 100 daily meditations. The first one is has a front and back side for day and night. And it has a quote with a challenge on the front side and a quote with a reflection on the back side. The second deck is 100 daily meditations, which is exactly what it sounds like, 100 daily meditations. So every day you pick one, you immerse yourself in the meditation and try to hold the sensations that you've captured during that meditation with you throughout your day. And those are doing really well on Amazon. Amazon is a great platform to sell on. There's a lot of different tools you could use to create a product or a private label product and then sell it on Amazon. For instance, there's a tool called Jungle Scouts, which is a great company that allows you to view different product opportunities in the Amazon marketplace. It allows you to build your listing with optimized keywords. It allows you to find keywords. And it's really an essential tool to have if you really want to sell on Amazon. And then the second one is Alibaba. And Alibaba connects you with hundreds of thousands of suppliers across the world, mostly in China. And then from there, you're able to take your idea and bring it to life on a production scale. And a key tidbit of advice comes from Tim Ferriss, who wrote it in The 4-Hour Work Week, where you want to outsource your life. So for instance, I can draw stick figures. That's about like the extent of my artistic capabilities. But I know that if you go on Upwork, which is a freelancer website, you can find some talented artists that can really just give you a whole new dimension to work with. So through the combination of tools like Jungle Scouts, Upwork, and Alibaba, you can kind of outsource your life in a way where you can make things happen and take something that lives in your idea space of zero measure that's hidden from the outside world and really bring it to life. And so going back to the business model, we have the cards that are coming out. We got t-shirts on the website. The book's going to come out soon. That'll be exciting. And then hopefully in the future, get to work on some new exciting products as well.
Very, very clever on your part on the business model there. Good stuff. Now, how do you start and scale your company in the health and fitness industry?
Great question. So I think one of the key dynamics for the health and fitness industry is that you need trust. I think that goes across all of the, any company you make, you want your customers to trust you. But I think more so in the health and fitness, just because they're coming to you because people seek advice. Like they're either in a pickle or they're not feeling great and they just want to know that what you offer can make them feel better. And so I think building that trust up front is key. And that goes in for us is it all starts with the brand, right? The brand is lovable. You got giant bubbles everywhere and a little dude who's very playful. And so it's very inviting for people of all ages to come in. And then the second part of it is something that you learn from the tech industry is that you have to solve a hard problem. So for instance, Google, they solved how to search the internet, which was crazy. ChatGPT and OpenAI, they realized how to make a chatbot based on massive data models. And so with the idea space, the hard problem that it solves is that it introduces a new solution to Einstein's field equation, the first in 60 years. And so while this brand is lovable on the outside and bubbles, it has a depth that is really uncountable. And so it's inviting for anyone at all ages to go in, read it, understand it. But then if you want to really understand it on a deep level, it introduces a new way of thinking and a new way of understanding our mind that combines the latest in physics with the latest in Zen and mindfulness and meditation to really create something new and unique.
Clément, certainly appreciate your joining us here today on behalf of the idea space, and certainly interesting and quite clever. I got to tell you, that's the key word right there, quite clever. As we conclude, what projects or roadmaps do you have for the future? Anything you'd like to make us aware of?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I'm a nerd, if you couldn't tell by now already. I love reading textbooks. So every morning I'll read different sort of textbooks and just use that as like a springboard of knowledge. So right now, working on building an AI meditation app that will just type in what sort of meditation you want. It'll use OpenAI's ChatGPT API to create and write the meditation. And then you could do different speech to or text to speech modules such as 11 Labs. They have some great APIs there, and just bring it to life. And so no matter who you are in the world, no matter what language you speak, you'll be able to have a meditation in your language, which I feel like today is one of the main hindrances for exploding mindfulness or exploding meditations, just the ability to have access to meditations in your language. So I think that's like the short-term goal, and then long-term, I love to work with interesting people who are doing cool things. So whether it's on rockets or computers, so some of the textbooks I've been reading to familiarize myself with that type sort of material. So there was a good quote by Alan Key who said, it's easier to invent the future than to predict it. So hopefully get to work with some really cool people in the future and to help build it.
The perfect place to conclude here today. Really appreciate your time. And if listeners wanted to tap into the idea space, where's the best place online to get the full details?
Yeah, great question. So we have the website, www.theideaspace.io, which houses a lot of great resources around all things idea space. We have Instagram at The Idea Space as well. And then if you want to find me, you can hit me up on LinkedIn at Clément de Crop, or on Twitter at Cream of the Crop, which is a nice play of words with my last name. So yeah, either one of those, and I try to be pretty responsive.
And of course, listeners, you can find that link also within the show notes of this broadcast. Mr. de Crop, all the best. Thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
Thanks for having me, Eric. It was fun.
And you're more than welcome anytime. Again, we've been speaking with Clément de Crop, a resilient leader and CEO of the Idea Space, a company that makes consciousness as real as gravity by giving it a scientific foundation. And for all the details, visit theideaspace.io. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.